Atamadero at Wet Pine, the 28th of December, 2518, continued.
But there is still awareness, a different level of awareness. When we talk about awareness in very, very general terms, we say that it has the function of remembering what is kusala. And this is very useful. Usually that's what we mean by remembering, because sanya marks every object. But sanya doesn't know what is kusala. Sanya doesn't remember or understand or know what is kusala. At the moment of giving, it is sati that remembers to give. Now here we use the word remembers in a slightly different way. We don't mean that. Sanya performs the function of marking the object. Every object is marked with sanya, so that it can be recognized in the future. At the moment of giving, sanya marks the object, whatever it is, but sati remembers to give, just makes it possible to give. If we don't remember to give, we won't give. How often in a day we have opportunities to give? We see people who need useful things, we have useful things to give, but no sati. We don't think about giving, it doesn't occur to us to give. You see, in reality, it's not us who remembers to give or thinks about giving. It's sati that remembers. Sati that is reminded to give.
Yes, remind, but not really remember.
In English, the word to remind or to remember, it's okay. We can use them almost interchangeably.
Yes.
We can't worry too much about words because we don't have enough good words in Thai or English or in any language to talk about dhammas really clearly. Sometimes we say that sati is mindfulness. So we can say there is mindfulness of giving, if you like, but that's not very clear to an English speaker. To me, anyway, to this English speaker. Awareness is another translation of sati. Memory is another one, but a special kind of memory. For example, remembering how to kill, or remembering to kill, is not sati. Sati cannot remember to kill, it can only remember what is kusala. So let's use the word remind. It's a good word. Sati reminds us to give. It's not us who reminds us to give. At the moment of remembering to give, there must be sanya too. At that moment, sanya marks the object, whatever the object is at that moment. But it is sati which reminds us to be able to give. So we don't have very much sati. Nobody has very much sati really in a day. Let's look at this level of generosity. We can't give things away all day. There's not always someone to give something to. There's not always something useful to give to other people. But whenever we do give, there is sati, a type of sati. The next level of sati is that which reminds us to refrain or restrain ourselves. Reminds us to restrain ourselves or refrain from killing, stealing, etc. In other words, keeping sila, keeping precepts.
This was related to churning also, isn't it? I'm trying to relate this to churning is the churning. Whether as a result of the churning you will have more success.
If it is the right training.
So suppose we want to observe precepts, five precepts, and we will train ourselves.
Yes.
As a result of this training, you will do more and more
develop sila. And develop.
Develop more and more sati.
But only sati at the level of sila, not the sati of satipatthana, not yet. Different levels. You must know that throughout the world there are people who have never heard the teachings of the Buddha, who may have very good sila, at least some precepts, maybe not all, but some precepts they may keep very, very well. They may be extremely generous people, accumulations for generosity from past lives. So it's not necessary to know anything about what the Buddha taught to have generosity, sila, to have sati at the level of generosity, sati at the level of sila. And the next is sati at the level of samatha or samati, anybody. But when it comes to banya, sati that begins to be aware of characteristics of reality, if we don't hear that there are characteristics of reality which are not people, which is not a self, we won't be able to develop it. Because it does not occur to us by ourselves to realize that there is truly not a self. Or we may entertain the idea, but we won't understand that what it is that is not self. We won't know that there is such a reality as seeing, which is different from color and which is not self. Because the only man, the first man to know this was the Buddha. So we might hear it from some distant source in some strange book, but ultimately it had to come from this man 2,500 years ago. It may have gone along lots of different pathways before it came out in this little book, but ultimately it came from the Buddha, the one who woke up first and found out by himself. First level of sati, generosity. Second level of sati, to keep precepts. If we don't have sati, we will not be reminded not to kill, we will kill. Mosquito biting, dislike, conditions, sati, no killing. Or maybe a moment of sati and then no sati, kill it anyway. Think, will I kill it or won't I? Yes, I will. So there may be sati, but then it may not be very strong. It may be just thinking about sila, but not strong enough to condition us to restrain. And we go ahead anyway. If there is no sati, if there is no reminder of what is kusala, in this case, that it is unskillful to kill a living being, it is akusala. Kusala meaning skillful, akusala meaning unskillful. It's unintelligent. It's really stupid to kill a living being, because every time we kill a living being, we make trouble for ourselves, big trouble, because it can cause rebirth in a lower plane, and it can cause us to experience great pain ourselves. In a later life, we may, or in this life, we may have some disease or some terrible pains in the head or the stomach, the back, as a result of killing. People do not have pains, aches and pains for no cause. The reason why some people are healthy their whole lives and others are unhealthy their whole lives has to have a reason. If we see something we like very much, we may realize that it belongs to somebody else. But still, if we like it enough, and we are not reminded to train ourselves not to take things that don't belong to us, we'll take it. If we like it enough, we'll think, well, yes, it's so-and-so's, but I'm sure he doesn't really need it. He's got two. He's got three. I haven't got any. So, it's okay. Never mind. But that's stealing. It depends. When I say he wouldn't mind, if it's a close friend and we know he wouldn't mind and it's quite customary for us to share our things and not ask each other, that's different. But I'm talking about a case where you know it's not yours and you have no right to take it from the owner, but you like it very, very much. And you've been wanting one for a long time. So if there's no sati to arise and to remind us of what is skillful at that moment, we'll take it. It's very unskillful to take it because it's a condition for us either to be born in a lower plane or later on to lose things, to have things stolen from us, to lose our wallets, to come home and find that our houses have been burgled, just to lose things. There has to be a cause for it. It's not just by chance. Anybody been burgled recently? It's the same with all areas of sila. We are unable to restrain ourselves if there is not some level of sati, awareness. But this is still not the sati that knows characteristics. The third level of sati is the sati of samadhi. There are many levels of samadhi, concentration, which is gusala, not agusala. I'm talking about... There's all kinds of samadhi. There's agusala samadhi, when we concentrate on, on killing. There must be concentration. It's a kind of samadhi to be able to kill someone successfully, but it's not gusala. When we are absorbed in watching a television program, samadhi, but the wrong kind, not gusala. So there are many kinds of samadhi. When sati is reminded, reminds us to be concentrated, to be calm, to be tranquil, then there can be tranquility. Many, many levels of tranquility, kusala tranquility. If we just think about the teachings of the Buddha, there may be a level of samadhi, which is kusala. We can call it samatha, if we like, or samadhi. They have different meanings, but they can both apply. They sometimes have different meanings, sometimes the same. Samadhi is a more general term. So every time we have true tranquility, and by that I don't mean just that we feel nice, but we really have freedom from agusala, then there is a higher level of sati. Again, when we entertain thoughts of compassion for other people, at that moment there is a tranquility. We are free from our resentment, free from anger, free from attachment. We have a wholesome mental state, which is not shown through the body, so it's not sila or giving. Therefore we call it samadhi or samatha. Tranquility. That cannot happen if we are not reminded to be compassionate. If we do not remember to have loving kindness. How often in a day when we hear things we don't like, when we are dealing with people that we don't like being with them, we don't like the way they behave, we don't like the way they speak, how often do we have sati that reminds us to be compassionate or to have equanimity? It's so easy just to sit there and find oneself overcome with dislike at some level or another. It might be just mild irritation. Sometimes it might be very strong. It might condition us to say unpleasant things. It might condition us to be sarcastic or rude or to lie. But if there is this level of sati, we may remember or we may be reminded to have compassion or equanimity. For example, the highest level is sati of satipatthana. Patthana means the foundation, or in the sense of being the object of sati. Satipatthana can have two meanings. It can mean sati of this fourth level, the sati which knows characteristics of reality. Or it can mean the object of sati. The object of this level of sati. In other words, the object of sati is the characteristics of reality. And the characteristics of reality are nama and rupa. So satipatthana can mean anything that is real. Color, sound, taste, smell, hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, thinking, memory, desire, aversion, kindness, compassion, nibbana. We don't usually talk about nibbana as being the object of satipatthana, because nibbana is experienced when satipatthana has been fully developed, not before. So citta, jetasika and rupa, nama and rupa, they are real. They can be experienced. They are not just ideas. They are not theories. They are not political approaches, they are realities. Not academic at all. They're seeing now. You can't stop it. And it doesn't matter what you have to say about it, it's still going on. You may even think there isn't seeing. But while you sit there thinking that there isn't seeing, there is seeing happening. Even at the very moment that perhaps you think for some reason or other there is no such thing. These are the realities of which sati can be aware. When we develop satipatthana, when we are aware of realities, then it is possible to understand them with banya. But if we are not aware of them, banya can't understand anything. The characteristics, we have to be aware of the characteristics before we can penetrate them and see them as they really are. See seeing as seeing, not as a person. There is nothing in the seeing, no person who sees, no body that walks along and sees, no color in the seeing, nothing in the seeing except seeing. Seeing is not self. Self is atta, but seeing is not self. Seeing is anatta, which means seeing is seeing. Why is seeing just seeing? Because it's not atta, it's just seeing.
We see something, and we see only the color of that. Then we also see the form, shape and form of those, but not only color.
That's already thinking when we know the shape or the form. Already thinking.
That's another stage.
Different moment.
Different moment. Mm. We see only color.
Yes.
And what we are trying to do now is to understand this color.
Understand, that's right.
Understand that we see only color.
This is color now. It's not a person. Thinking that it is someone is a moment of thinking, very different from the moment of seeing. We don't have to look for color because here it is.
But how this could lead to the application of defilement.
Because when we see that seeing is only seeing, that color is only color, at that moment it is impossible to have any wrong idea about what is seeing. You cannot think it is someone or something that you want or that you don't want.
It falls very fast that we don't realize, but I see this as a radio.
Different moments. So we have to develop our sati until our sati is very fast, very skilled, chamnan mak. Because right now we have very chamnan lopa. Our lopa is just like that. Open our eyes, lopa, we like it, or we know what it is. We have to develop our sati, which is now tired and very... make our sati like this.
When we develop fully understanding of sati, then what would happen?
What would you like to happen?
I'm not so sure, I suppose you draw that line, yes, that's the lopa. But yes. Then when we fully develop the sati, then we see only this direction or this dimension?
No. The more there is awareness,
yeah,
the more we may understand. The more we understand, the more it is possible. The more we can't put it that way. When our understanding is fully developed, we can completely eradicate all our wrong view, all our wrong understanding, and our doubts. That's the first step. We don't have to worry anything about lopa, dosa, moha yet, because this is the first step. If we do not get rid of wrong view and doubts, we will never get rid of anything else. This is the first step of enlightenment. It's the stage of sotapanna. Sotapanna still has lopa, dosa, and moha. Can a sotapanna go to the movies? Bentai dai, mate. Dai. Dai. He still has lopa. He still likes to look.
He has right view already.
When he goes to the movies, he knows that it is only seeing, not somebody who sits and sees. If he likes what he sees, he knows that it is only lopa that likes. It is not someone who sits and likes. He knows it is only color that is seen. He knows realities as they are. He has many moments when he forgets, when he has only moha and he doesn't know what it is. But he never does what we do. We think it's someone. We really believe that someone just spoke to us. And why did he do that? Why did he say that? And we also have doubts too. One moment we may think, oh yes, I know how to develop mindfulness. I know how to develop mindfulness. That's wrong view if we really think that we know how to develop mindfulness. But even though we may think it, and we may indeed have some understanding, the next moment we may think, do I? We may think, oh yes, this is seeing. Or is it color? This is color. Or is it seeing? Yes, this is sati. Or is it? We have doubts and wrong view, but a sotapanna doesn't have any doubts. but he still has lobha dosa moha. Can a sotapanna cry? Visakha, the famous supporter of the Buddha, she was a sotapanna when she was 7 years old. She got married and had 20 children, so she still had lobha, right? And when her children died, she cried. She still had dosa, too. But she didn't have any of this or this. She didn't have any jealousy either, because jealousy is also eradicated at this first stage. And she didn't have any stinginess. And no wrong practice. She didn't go to meditation centers and walk slowly. She wasn't greedy for sati or greedy for banya. She did not try to control realities because she knew there is no self that can make something happen. You cannot change the lopa of this moment because it's already fallen away. She did not try to force or control. She eradicated all her wrong view that would make her try to force or control. When we want to develop sati, because we do have wrong understanding, we often try to force and control sati, to make sati arise, thinking that there is somebody who can do that. And that makes us sometimes rather tense and disappointed too, if we do not get the results that we're hoping for. Because we have a picture in our mind, an idea in our mind of what it is like to have sati or banya. Maybe we think sati is something we must have for a long time. Or maybe we think when we have sati that everything looks very bright and clear. These are many of the different wrong ideas we have about sati. Sotapanna doesn't have such ideas, doesn't try to force control, doesn't get tense through wrong practice. He just carries about his daily life in a very ordinary way and understands realities more and more clearly without mistaking them for a person or for something, without having any doubts. So that's the first stage. If we want to get rid of all our lopa, as first stage, we will never reach the first stage because we will have the wrong idea, the wrong view that we can get rid of lopa first, which can't be done. So long as we think we can get rid of all attachment first, we will never get rid of the wrong view, because to think that you can get rid of all lopa first is wrong. It's not true. It's wrong understanding, misinterpretation. There is nobody who can control getting rid of lopa. You can't sit down and say, okay, I will not be attached. Because if there are conditions to be attached, there will be attachment. Has Sakatagami, second stage, has he got rid of attachment? Second stage of enlightenment. Prasakatagami. Has he still got lopa or not? Yes, still has lopa and dosa and moha. Third stage, anakami. Third stage of enlightenment. No dosa, but still has lopa, still has attachment. It's only at the last stage, arahatta, that we can get rid of all lopa and moha, finally. So when we start hearing about sati and banya, satipatthana, vipassana, it seems like that so many people want to be arahatta tomorrow, go straight to the last stage without going step by step, first stage first. And to become sotapanna, one has to understand the first stage on the way to sotapanna, which is to know the difference between nama and rupa, the difference between seeing and color right now. No amount of wishing and hoping for the future will help us to know nama and rupa right now. That's what it means to learn to be aware. To forget about how things will be a moment from now or tomorrow. To forget about how things were just a moment ago, yesterday, last week. Everything we've ever had in the past, we've ever known and ever done, it's all fallen away completely. It's only an idea now. It can be remembered. That's all. But you can't see what you saw yesterday, can't taste what you tasted yesterday, can't hear what you heard yesterday. If somebody praised us yesterday, hearing that praise has completely fallen away again, and we don't know if we'll ever hear praise again for the rest of our lives, because it depends on our karma, whether we hear praise or not. And who knows what deeds we performed in the past. Have we performed enough good deeds to get praise again today, next week, next year? What's the use of wishing and hoping for praise? The only way to get praise is to develop kusala. So every time we are wishing and hoping for the future, or regretting and worrying about the past, no sati at those moments. In Satipatthana Sutta it talks about apicca and tomana. I can't remember how to spell it in English. It says that the person who develops satipatthana overcomes apicca and tomana nailo in the world. It means for one moment, at the moment of having sati, there is no lopa. Apicca is a kind of lopa. In other words, we're not wanting something to be different, because we are just seeing it as it is. And we don't have domanasa, sadness, grief, worry, disturbance, dislike, fear, anxiety about the way things have turned out, because that's the way they are. Right now, seeing is seeing, just like it is. And you, what's the point? If somebody has just insulted you, the sound you heard has fallen away completely. The hearing, the experience of that sound is completely gone. So first step first, the difference between nama and rupa. Through the eye door, knowing the difference between seeing and the visible object. We cannot know what seeing is if we do not know what visible object is, because they both occur at exactly the same time. We cannot separate one from the other unless we know both. What is it that appears now? What we see now is visible object. If we don't have more and more awareness of visible object as only visible object, so that we get to know visible object better, we will never know seeing. And how can we know seeing if we don't see that seeing is different from hearing? We think it's I, me, who sees, who hears, who thinks, who tastes, who smells, who doubts, who likes. One reality, we think, me. And we think what we look at is me, and what we touch is me, someone or something. But it's different realities, different doorways. So we can't even really begin just with seeing invisible object, because in many cases we don't even know that seeing and hearing are different. So if we can't see that seeing and hearing are different, we will never see that seeing and invisible object are different. We have to separate the ear door, the processes through the ear door, from those through eye, nose, tongue, body and mind. At least. To begin to be aware that hearing is a different reality, completely different reality from seeing. That sound is a completely different reality from visible object. Nobody has ever seen a sound. We say, I hear a car. We hear a sound. Later on, we remember the idea of car. But we never see the sound, just hear it. We never hear the color of a car. Then there's hardness, softness, motion, pressure, heat, cold, through body sense. You might look at this piece of chalk and you say, I know it's hard, but what you see isn't hardness. you remember your own experience of hardness when you have touched pieces of chalk before, but right now you can only see color. And when you touch the piece of chalk, hardness may appear. White doesn't appear through the body, only hardness. So different doorways, different realities, different namas and different rupas. And what about thinking? Thinking is different from seeing completely when you know what the object is. And how can you tell the different kinds of thinking unless you know about lopa, dosa, moha, compassion, karuna, metta, etc.? Because at the moment of thinking, we have these different kinds of jeta seekers. Not at the moment of seeing. There is no liking at the moment of seeing. There is no kindness at the moment of seeing. Kindness is a different moment. So you see, the only way to know the truth and to be free from all our wrong ideas is to begin by knowing what appears right now. There's nothing that we can avoid. We can't say, well, we should know seeing and hearing maybe, but we won't worry about tasting because that's too difficult. Or it's not necessary. Or I won't bother with feelings at the moment. I'll work on feelings later. There's no you who can say what will be the object of sati now and what won't be. You have one moment and one moment only to be aware, and that is at this moment. So there's no time to choose what you'll be aware of. It's too late if you stop and think now, what will I be aware of? That's only thinking when you think, what will I be aware of? And there's no awareness that it's only thinking. There's not a person. So it's now or never. The reality that appears now, whether you like it or not, it's real. If you decide you don't want to be aware of what appears now, you don't like what appears now, and you wait until something nice comes along to be aware of, then you are overcome by Dominasa. So no awareness at that moment. You don't want to be aware of anger because it hurts too much or something. You just want to get rid of anger rather than be aware of it. Think about something else. Try and control it, suppress it, anything. Go away. But no awareness. When you're trying to make it go away, it's full of the idea of self. You can control things. You can say, anger, go away. You can do something. But it depends on conditions whether we have anger or not. Not us. Depends on the object, depends on our accumulations. So the only way is to learn to understand that there has to be sati. You have to be patient, you have to put up with realities because they have already arisen.
Yes, we are not going to, we can control, although we would like to control. Could we create a condition? No.
If we listen to Dhamma frequently, there are more conditions for understanding, right understanding, more conditions for sati. So we might think, okay, so I can control. I will listen to Dhamma more frequently. That's me, controlling conditions. But in fact, we will not be able to listen to Dhamma more frequently unless there are the right conditions. We may think, I will, I have the intention to. But if we have bad health, we may be prevented from listening to Dhamma. We may suddenly go deaf. Then it doesn't matter what good intentions we have. Because of a deed in the past, agusala gamma, we lose our ear sense. So we can't hear Dhamma anymore. So it depends on conditions whether we can hear Dhamma more frequently, not on us. Our intention is only one of those conditions. And intention to listen, jetana, is not self either. It depends on conditions whether we will have the intention to listen to Dhamma. It depends on our understanding of the value of Dhamma. If we listen to Dhamma and we think, oh yes, same old stuff, I've heard it all before, no need to listen again, then there will not be conditions to hear Dhamma anymore. Not many. Because we don't think it's valuable. We may think we know already, we understand. Or we may hear about ideas about heaven and hell and we may think, oh that's very old-fashioned, that's nonsense. I don't want to hear Dhamma if people are going to talk about heaven and hell. We will not consider it carefully and read further and study. Just wipe it out. So, less conditions again to listen to Dhamma because we think it's useless. So we can't control conditions. It depends on conditions, whether there are the right conditions for us to hear Dhamma, to understand. We may think, well, I came here this morning because I knew. But what is it that knows? It's sannyā that remembers the value. It's banyā that really knows it's a good thing to do, that it's skillful. Banyā isn't us. Banyā is a kind of nama that you can't see or hear or taste or smell that arises and falls away immediately. Maybe there have been mornings when you wake up and you think, I'll go and study Dhamma. And you're quite convinced you'll go and study Dhamma, but half an hour later, it's the furthest thing from your mind. Maybe you have suddenly got a bad stomach ache. Maybe telephone rings and somebody says, would you like to go to Pattaya or to Nakhon Pathom, to the Rose Garden? And suddenly you don't have any ideas of studying Dhamma anymore. So it just depends on conditions. Nobody knows exactly what will happen next. Depends how precise we want to be, because when there is a process involving seeing, only then can there be awareness. For example, if there's no seeing, if there's just hearing or experiencing hardness, you cannot have awareness of seeing then. The only time you can ever have awareness of seeing is when there is seeing. But in fact, it's not at exactly one and the same moment of citta, because the citta which sees cannot be aware of itself. So the citta which sees arises and falls away. And then later there can be a citta which is aware of seeing as seeing. This seeing can condition the awareness. But if this is hearing at this moment, you can't be aware of seeing. So we have to see that it's not true to say that, you can't say there is awareness at the moment of seeing in one sense, because they are in fact two different moments. But you can't say there is awareness when there isn't seeing. In other words, when there's something else going on. It must be when there is a seeing, but not at exactly one and the same moment of citta.
Awareness is jetasik.
Yes.
Not citta itself.
But jetasikas never arise without cittas. They arise together. Sati arises with kusala citta, same time.
And if kusala citta arises with sati, then the sati will help citta to aware.
It is sati which will be aware. Sati performs the function of being aware. Citta just experiences the object. All cittas just experience the object. It's not wrong to say that the citta will be aware, but if we want to be exact, we should say that it is awareness which will be aware at that moment. Excuse me, I think I know what you mean. If there is no sati, then some cittas arise with sati, some do not. The cittas that arise without sati, for example, seeing, hearing, and lopamula citta, liking, disliking, there is no awareness of anything then. But if sati arises with the citta, in other words, it is a kusala citta, and it is a high level of sati, then there can be awareness of the characteristic. But it is always sati that is aware, it is not the citta. Why do you want to have more awareness?
To minimize the department, to see my, this is my objective.
What if you begin to be aware and you suddenly see a lot of defilements? Then will you be disappointed? For example, we might think that if we develop awareness, what will happen is more and more aware, less and less defilements, and everything we see in ourselves will be beautiful. We might think that. We might think that if we have more, we might think that the proof of more awareness is we become nicer and nicer people. And in a way, maybe that's true, but when we have awareness, what will we learn about? We will learn about the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that we are full of kilesa all day long. And so when we have more awareness... Foolishness is one type of kilesa. So we are full of it, and we don't know it. We think we have a bit, oh yes, sometimes I have a bit of attachment, and sometimes I get a bit upset. We don't know that it's from the moment we open our eyes in the morning to when we go to bed at night that we don't see things as they are, really. And we have so much attachment to what people say and do and what happens, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, what we touch, what we think, everything. So when we have more awareness, what happens? We start to see these defilements. And we don't like it. We're surprised. We think, oh, that couldn't be me. Oh, no. And then we get very disappointed sometimes, and very upset and tense. Why? Because we think that sati is self. And we think that the kilesa that we see is also self. We see lopa and think, oh no, couldn't be. But of course it can be. It's just lopa, not you, not someone. And the sati that can see kilesa, sati is not you either. It's another type of reality, which we must learn to be aware of. So if we want to develop sati, so we will become beautiful people, Dingam and Ribroi Tukyam, then we will be very disappointed at first, because what we are going to see is the truth, and the truth is full of kilesa, as well as seeing and hearing, and some kusala too. But we will see a lot of this that we didn't know was there, and we will think it's new. Where did it come from? But it's always been there, only we didn't see it before. So we have to know what to expect, otherwise we may not learn, we may not understand what being more aware really means. We have to be quite strong to see the truth about ourselves. So if we know that we want to develop sati to understand the truth, to know ourselves as we really are, then already we can have more sati. Because it is right understanding when we see the use of sati, the value of sati, the purpose of sati. If we think the purpose of sati is to make our lives glowing and bright, then even though in a way it will make our lives better, we could get very mixed up. Because we have to see everything that is real. Not just the nice things. We cannot choose what sati will be aware of. So what are the conditions? The conditions are, one, to know the value of sati, the true value of sati. So you have to know what one wants to develop sati for. Value of sati and banya. In a way, well, they're both important, sati and banya, mindfulness and wisdom. The value or the usefulness. This is one of the conditions to have more sati, to know that it's valuable, to know that it is useful, and to know why it's useful. To know what is suitable for the development of sati. perhaps you're a person who has strong accumulations for drinking. Drinking beer or whiskey or something. Maybe you like the taste very much and you've been drinking since you were quite young. If you do not realize that drinking is not really suitable for the development of sati, it will be very hard to develop sati, because every time you feel like a drink, you'll have it. Every time. You will not begin to see the dangers. So you have to know what is suitable, what conditions are suitable for developing sati. Where to live, what clothes to wear, what food to eat, how much to sleep. We call it sapaya sampatanya. This one we call sataka sampatanya, to know the value of sati. We might, in this very cold weather, like to show how much fortitude we have, and we might just sleep with one blanket and feel ourselves very, very game. I only need one blanket in this cold weather. But if we catch a cold from only using one blanket, we're very foolish. Because when we have a lot of pain, it's not easy to be aware when one is in great pain. So if one is foolish enough